In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But those that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus spoke in parables, as he says in Luke chapter 8, that hearing, they may not hear, and seeing, they may not understand. That seems to turn everything completely upside down, doesn't it? Wouldn't you want them to hear? Wouldn't you want them to see? Wouldn't you want them to understand? Parables are strange. Even the disciples who were with Jesus listened to these parables and scratched their head. What are you talking about? And it's part of the function of parables for Christians. In the midst of the hustle and bustle of life, in the midst of Satan's attacks, in the midst of testing of our faith, in the midst of the cares and the riches of this world, which so easily threaten to destroy faith, we simply shut up and be still and listen to the word of God, which Jesus told Mary and Martha was the one thing needful, apart from which we don't exist, apart from which we have no faith, apart from which we do not know the comfort of the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So he tells parables for us as Christians, that we might meditate upon the mysteries of the gospel, especially as those parables encounter things in our life experience which are very different. A sower went out to sow seed. And some fell on the wayside, and some among rocks, and some among thorns and thistles. What is the matter with you? Taking this expensive seed, with inflation, it's getting even more expensive, and you're just throwing 3/4 of it away where it doesn't belong. What does this mean? God is so rich in his grace and mercy. He desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so he proclaims the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God indiscriminately to all people in the preaching of the gospel. And it's a radical sign of God's grace, the way in which he proclaims that word. Above all, the Holy Gospel for today teaches that faith in Christ is a miracle of God's word. The more intense things get in our lives, the more things we encounter that disturb our peace, the more we need the word of the Lord. The more we need to shut up and listen. I've got all of the cares of this world pressing in upon me. I've got Satan's attacks against me. Times of testing. It's then when we need the word of God the most, when we think we have no time for it. In today's Old Testament, God's word is compared to water that gives life and nourishes life. God's word expresses God's will. God's word creates faith God's word exposes unbelief. God's word gives the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation in Jesus, and condemnation to those who reject him. Isaiah says of the power and efficacy of God's word, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The word of God, creating faith in Christ as it does, also teaches us empathy for other sinners, just like us. It teaches us compassion. It teaches us not to hold the sins of others against them. It teaches us to live in a posture of mercy, for the mercy of the Lord endures forever. It teaches us to deny the sinful flesh, the self-righteousness, the pride, to turn away from anger and bitterness. It teaches us to live humbly before God. In today's epistle, God's word gives rest from the problem of sin. It is described by the apostle in Hebrews as a sharp, two-edged sword that has surgical precision to diagnose our deepest needs and to lay open before God our souls and spirits. Quoting, "It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from God's sight." So the word of God lays us naked so that we can make no excuses, and so that we learn to pray the prayer of the tax collector, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And in the proclamation of the word of the gospel, he is. You can never wear out his mercy. You can never wear out his compassion. The gospel proclaims that he is good and his mercy endures forever. In the parable for today, Jesus is that sower. Think about the image here, a little dried seed, which appears to human reason to be inert, to be lifeless. What power does this dried little seed have? And of course, that is what our flesh and human reason is tempted to believe. It is inert. It has no power. But when the seed is planted in dead earth, full of decay and manure, freed of the thorns and the thistles and the rocks, it germinates. And it bears fruit. Amazing. Faith in Christ is a miracle of God's word. Oh, how you and I need it most when we think we need it least. Oh, how in the word of the gospel, Jesus is constantly extending his arms to us, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." The rest of which the apostle spoke in the epistle for today is the rest and peace of sins forgiven, the quiet comfort of a conscience that is set free by the mercy and forgiveness of our Lord. We cannot make ourselves good ground, like a farmer who tends the field. So our Lord tends us, that through the trials and tribulations of life and even the assaults of the evil one and the temptations of the world around us, we might be stripped of self-reliance to learn to rely upon Christ alone. When our Lord speaks the word of the gospel to us, it is a gentle word of grace. It is not coercive. Even when it exposes our sin, he does so like a surgeon, cutting out the infection to give life. He doesn't force himself upon us. He speaks to us when we are troubled by our sins, when we feel the pangs of a guilty conscience. and have our hearts cut wide open with the knowledge of our sin. When we are burdened by life and we don't know what to do, Jesus speaks his word of forgiveness. And by speaking his word, he gives us himself, nothing less than himself. He declares us by that word righteous. Clothed with his righteousness, he binds up our wounds and he gives us comfort. The comfort to walk by faith and not by sight, not necessarily knowing the outcomes of the things that are threatening us in our lives, but knowing in the word of the gospel, since he gave himself for us upon the cross, we have the absolute certainty in that word of the gospel which has created faith, that we belong to him and nothing can separate us from God's love in all of creation. So Jesus tells us the parable of the sower and the seed, to not only extol the all-sufficiency of his word for everything that we need in our lives, but also to warn us about the enemies of faith, the enemies that seek to destroy faith in the Lord Jesus, that seek to prevent us from continuing to receive the word that gives life. The devil is an enemy of faith in Christ. From the time of his fall from heaven, he has been out to attack God's word and to destroy faith. Remember that for yourselves as Christians. There's always another will at work as we're walking through life and experiencing the distresses of life, and that is the will of the evil one. He wants to take you out. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to take out the church. He wants to destroy the harmony of the peace of sins forgiven, the capacity of Christians to empathize with one another, to be slow to speak and quick to listen, to live in mercy and forgiveness. Lies, deceit, false promises and accusations against God, these are Satan's weapons. We need to know this. But the great wonder of the parable of the sower and the seed is that it is the word of God which is the antidote against faith. In a couple of Sundays, we shall see Jesus wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in his battle with Satan in the wilderness. Apathy toward God's word, or self-sufficiency with respect to God's word, and the failure to believe how much we continue to need God's word, is also an enemy of faith. Think of those disciples. They were with Jesus and they experienced, as the parable speaks, the joy of salvation. And in the experience of the joy of salvation, they were tempted to believe, we have it all. We need nothing more. I will suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from you. But in the time of temptation, the great testing, when their life seemed threatened, they ran away. The word that you received as young catechumens, memorizing the catechism, is the word you will continue to need on your deathbed or in the face of persecution. Jesus teaches us that apathy toward God's word is the nature of our flesh. But here again, the disciples learned when the joy of salvation fled from them and they ran away from him, that he was constant in the word of the gospel to reach out to them, bringing them to contrition and repentance, and to call them home. The good news is that the very word of the gospel that creates the joy of salvation, a joy that every one of those 12 disciples of Jesus had experienced, is also that word by which hunger and thirst to learn more deeply of our Lord Jesus is created. Again, one of the functions of parables. And finally, the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life threaten to choke faith. That is earthly mammon. Prosperity and enjoyment of this life that makes a god out of the things of this world and looks to them above all things. These are the thorns. But the sole purpose of the seed of the word is to give us Christ. Remember this, the disciples of Jesus and you and I as disciples of Jesus have a singular object to our faith. Jesus. Jesus and only Jesus. And the word of the gospel gives us Jesus. He comes to us in that word to restore life with God in him and through him, to enable us to bear the crosses and afflictions of life and even the loss of all things. This is what the seed of the word is all about. From Jesus' word of the gospel, the good and mature fruits of faith are produced. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we can never exhaust meditation upon the word of the gospel and how Christ is the answer in his forgiving word to every problem, hardship, and adversity of life as it delivers us from Satan, who would rob the word from us, as it sustains and strengthens us in the face of testing, and as it teaches us to believe that we can lose everything in this life and we've lost nothing if we have Christ, who by the word of the gospel has called us to faith and set us free. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.